Wells felt a flash of anger at this blending of worlds. The library was where he went to forget about the sickening smell of antiseptic, the beep of the heart monitor that, far from a sign of life, seemed like a countdown to death. The girl took a step back and cocked her head, her light hair falling to one side. "Oh, it's you." Wells braced for the first swoon of recognition, and the rapid eye movements that meant she was already messaging her friends on her cornea slip. But this girl's eyes focused directly on him, as if she were looking straight into his brain, peeling back the layers to reveal all the thoughts Wells had purposefully hidden. "Didn't you want that book?" She nodded toward the shelf where Decline and Fall was stored. Wells shook his head. "I'll read it another time." She was silent for a moment. "I think you should take it now." Wells's jaw tightened, but when he said nothing, she continued. "I used to see you here with your mother. You should bring it to her." "Just because my father's in charge of the council doesn't mean I get to break a 300-year rule," he said, allowing just a shade of condescension to darken his tone. "The book will be fine for a few hours. They exaggerate the effects of the air." Wells raised an eyebrow. "And do they exaggerate the power of the exit scanner?" There were scanners over most public doors on Phoenix that could be programmed to any specifications. In the library, it monitored the molecular composition of every person who exited to make sure no one left with a book in their hands or hidden under their clothes. A smile flickered across her face. "I figured that out a long time ago." She glanced over her shoulder down the shadowy aisle between the bookcases, reached into her pocket, and extracted a piece of gray cloth. "It keeps the scanner from recognizing the cellulose in the paper." She held it out to him. "Here, take it." Wells took a step back. The chances of this girl trying to embarrass him were far greater than the odds of her having a piece of magical fabric hidden in her pocket. "Why do you have this?" She shrugged. "I like reading other places." When he didn't say anything, she smiled and extended her other hand. "Just give me the book. I'll sneak it out for you and bring it to the hospital." Wells surprised himself by handing her the book. "What's your name?" he asked. "So you know to whom you'll be eternally indebted?" "So I know who to blame when I'm arrested." The girl tucked the book under her arm and then extended her hand. "Clark." "Wells," he said, reaching forward to shake it. He smiled, and this time, it didn't hurt. "They barely managed to save the tree." The Chancellor stared at Wells, as if looking for a sign of remorse or glee. Anything to help him understand why his son had tried to set fire to the only tree evacuated from their ravaged planet. "Some of the council members wanted to execute you on the spot, juvenile or not, you know. I was only able to spare your life by getting them to agree to send you to Earth." Wells exhaled with relief. There were fewer than 150 kids in confinement, so he had assumed they'd take all the older teens. But until this moment, he hadn't been sure he would be sent on the mission.